Welcome back to Channel 9 Live. We're live here at the Bellagio Hotel with the sign that I can't pick up. And if anybody wants to tweet us and send us questions, we've got another great show here, a bunch of live guests, at Channel 9 Live, at Channel 9 Live on Twitter. Send your questions to us. I'm John Papa. This is a special episode of Silverlight TV. Got the logo. We're all set to go. And I've got some good guests on here today. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves, though anybody who's been watching the live stream today should know who you are. Dave?
Yeah, Dave Wolf. I'm Vice President of Strategy at Synergy.
Excellent.
I'm Ward Bell. I'm Vice President of Technology at IdeaBlade.
I'm Frank Janine. I'm founder and CEO of FlingHub. Sorry, Ormetis.
Can you say your name again, Frank?
Yes, sorry. Frank yes. Janine.
I think your microphone was off for a second.
Ormetis.
Excellent. So we got two VPs and a CEO. I feel kind of small over here right now. But, and the one thing all these gentlemen have in common, if anybody's watched the keynote today, is all three of them were in the keynote. You guys had some great applications and did some great stuff. And it's actually the first time I'd seen some of these applications, especially Frank's. That kind of blew me away. Can you tell us about what you showed today?
Yeah, what we do at Ormetis is we make managing data easy in terms of transforming data, migrating data. So we have a Silverlight 4 application, and we do a lot of things that were not possible before with Silverlight. So we waited for the fourth release to do that. And you actually very visually and intuitively drag and drop piece of information, files, Excel files, text files, and you group them, you combine them together, you rearrange them, and you produce new files for that to serve as an input to another process.
That's quite an impressive demo there, and I believe the keynote demos will be available to watch, if not already, within the next day or two. That's quite, I tell you, it really was quite an impressive demo. And
thank you.
The one thing that was great to watch during the keynotes is I think there was a good reception for all the demonstrations that put out there. There's a lot of things that Silverlight 4 seems to allow us to do that. For example, your product, as you mentioned, couldn't do it without Silverlight 4.
Yeah, the few features that are key to us, drag and drop, that, I mean, we could do without drag and drop, but it's not as nice. So you take a file from the desktop, and you drop it on the Silverlight application, and you open it instantly. Elevated privileges, so you can run out of the browser and do things you couldn't do without doing that when you're running in the browser, like accessing the system files without the user being prompted for it. So that's important to us. This morning when we imported a folder, when you drop the folder on Silverlight, we only know about the folder. We don't know about the files that are inside the folder. So to grab those files, we need that elevated trust mode so we can actually get to those files without the user being prompted
right.
with
so
the open file,
to the file system. You need that
dialogue,
elevated
things
trust.
Like that. I mean, communication with Office, if Office is installed on the machine. Nice things like right-click and to be able to have contextual menu with right-click. I mean, all those things.
So
were,
it wasn't any one feature for you. It seemed like a whole slew
yeah,
and really helped you out.
Drag and drop and elevated trust were the key ones. Really to make it worth it.
Well, I know one of the reasons I asked these three gentlemen to come on Silverlight TV was that we've done a lot of shows on technology and where things are heading, and they're all very technical gentlemen, but the one thing that's been very impressive for me so far by being in the role at Microsoft is there are a lot of companies who are getting into Silverlight now because of some of the new features, and it seems like the business is picking up. Is that a general theme? Dave, you can tell me. Tell us
no doubt about it.
Synergy is a consulting shop.
Yeah, we're a software product, concept, design, and development agency. So, like this morning, we help a company like eBay to maybe imagine a new software product. We can help them design, both sort of help people experience it and interact with it, and then we can develop it for them. So, I mean, it's been just booming for us. We actually were traditionally an Adobe shop.
So you've been Adobe Air, Flash, Flex.
Adobe Air, Flex, Flash, all of that for many years.
All right,
and,
where's the hook? Get him off the show.
Yeah. Don't criticize Flash.
No, as you said, Steve Jobs is killing that currently. But you know, 3 years ago when Silverlight 1 was released, we announced the first Microsoft Silverlight practice, and it's been, for us, booming. At the end of 2009, Silverlight was now making up over half of our revenues.
So you still do quite a bit of Adobe work, though, right?
Oh, yeah, that stuff's growing.
Yeah.
That stuff's booming, too, right? But the pace that it's come up. So for us, it's been great because we have this whole new business unit that's literally helped us double our business. That's just been on, as you were pointing out, demand. I mean, if you think back, Silverlight 4... Silverlight 1 was announced 3 years ago, and we're in our fourth release. So that kind of speed of innovation has been huge to customers like an eBay to say, hey, this is something I want to bet my business on.
So we've got a unique position here, and we talked to Ward a little bit earlier, too, as well. You've got a a company that you work for, IdeaBlade.
Yes.
Couldn't think of the word company for a moment.
Well, yeah, and I want to build on what Dave was saying, because you know, back in 2001, we've always believed in rich internet applications, distributed applications, but the world wasn't ready for it. They weren't ready for the idea of client-side execution. And so we, you know, it was struggling getting the message out there. And now, so when Silverlight came out, it really began to address what was a latent need to be able to have the kinds of window-type applications that they used to have that they couldn't figure out how to get on the web. Now they could get on the web. People started to believe, for some reason, that Silverlight was going to be it. It's transformed our business. So more than half of our business has shifted completely into Silverlight, and it's our bet.
More than half your business already.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's way more than half of our business now. And we've completely changed our business model to wrap around Silverlight because, not because we're good guys or anything, but because this is the platform that our customers and our prospects are all telling us is the way they want to deliver the rich experience on the web.
So tell me.
I sound like a salesperson, but I mean, yeah. I honestly believe it.
Well, yeah, you look like a salesperson.
Oh, that's
we made it a whole 8 minutes in the show without a comment about the jacket. So earlier we had a good question about if Huey Lewis was going to sing for us on the show.
Well, talking about AIDS, what impressed me the most about Silverlight is the size of the plugin. I mean, I think that's currently 8 megabytes.
And that's in the, yes.
And the .NET framework is about 200 megabytes. I mean, Silverlight is 8 megabytes, and that's about 80% of the features.
Yeah.
So how do you squeeze 80% of 200 megabytes into 8 megabytes? I don't know, but they did it.
I think Willy Wonka had a machine for that in that movie where everything got smaller.
Yes.
Well, in the size plays to what we were talking about in the keynote this morning with the eBay app, which was the ease of install, right? It's tough enough to get somebody to install something on their desktop.
Yep.
You can't have them install two things. And you can't have them wait 20 minutes to do it, right? They want to try this thing out. They want to try it out. They want to do it without installing something else that they don't know what it is, right? Some other runtime. And it's just got to work because you're going to click yes the first time. But if you wait 20 minutes, you're not going to click yes.
So we have, I want to make sure we get everybody in here. We've got some good guests. The reason I set the guests up before asking for questions is their experience is very varied. We've got a lot of business applications. And Dave on the end here does both Adobe and Silverlight work. So if anybody has any questions, again, please tweet them to @Channel9Live. Any questions, either Silverlight or Flash, would be a good person to do some comparisons for us.
Sure.
We have one question in here from @RE Lawson. From your experience, guest next to John, I assume they mean Dave here, how does Silverlight 4 compare with Flex? And can you, and since that works out for your business, can you tell people what Flex is first if they're not familiar with
sure.
it?
Sure. Flex is an Adobe product. It was one of the big precursors in the real revolution that is built on top of the Flash runtime. And frankly, works a lot like Silverlight does. It has an XML-like markup language for layout. It has a scripting language called ActionScript that runs in the background. It runs inside a virtual machine, inside of a plugin in your browser. They're very, very similar products. And frankly, these days, you know, as less of the commercial, they're very similar products. I mean, people come to us and say, hey, should I do Flex or should I do Silverlight? We'll really drill in with them and say, okay, what's your app? Who's it rolling out to? You know, what are those users like? Where are they? What's, you know, let's learn everything about it and let's help you make a decision. But it's not a slam dunk either way, which is to a large degree, you know, a big boon to where Silverlight has come in just 3 years because Flash has had a lot more.
Because 3 years ago it was just Flash and Flex. You didn't have another option.
Right.
So let me ask you, as a follow-up on that, when you get customers that come into you, are most of them coming and saying, I want to use Flash or I want to use Flex, or are they now coming to you saying, help us decide?
You know, it's changing. So for a long time, they were just coming in and saying, I want a Silverlight app, I want an AR app, I want whatever. More and more, we're coming in doing more concept work with the customer. So eBay is a prime example. Look, I want to make listing a product simple. I want to be able to list a product in under 2 minutes. Help us imagine what a product like that might be. And then as we go through and imagine and then drill into it, and as a big part of that is getting on the desktop, getting a place where we can get notifications and toasts and start menu and all of those needs, and the install's got to be like this, that helps us guide them to, say, Silverlight. In other cases, frankly, it might guide us towards Flex. But we're getting more and more people saying, I just want this rich, immersive, incredible software product.
They want you to solve a problem now, which is good. I've been a consultant for many years, and I always liked when people said, help me solve a problem, as opposed to help me write this app in X, Y, Z.
Yep, absolutely.
It's more pleasant that way. Okay, great. So we have some other questions up here as well. I think we covered the first one. So we've got @System. HTML5 versus Silverlight versus Flash.
Wow.
We just got a Flash guy. We need an HTML5 guy now. How do you choose between these three technologies?
Well, maturity. I mean, HTML5 doesn't exist. Flash existed for the last, whatever, 15 years, and Silverlight for the last few years. So in terms of install base, I mean, that's going to make a big difference. I don't believe you're ever going to be able to do in HTML5 all the things you do either in Flash.
That's a great question. Your product, for example, could you have written your product in Flash, Silverlight, or HTML5? I mean, obviously in Silverlight you did.
In Flash, yeah, definitely. Would have had the performance problem, as I mentioned this morning, for lack of multi-threading. But in Flash, yeah, no problem. In Ajax, because that's what we're
in Ajax,
that's
ACD
what we're talking
sure.
about, HTML5. No, I mean, we would have done something, but that wouldn't have looked, that would have been nowhere
as powerful.
Nice or as sleek as the current incarnation. I mean, it's
and where do you find an HTML5 browser? I mean, it's gonna, they're having a heck of a time killing off IE6 now.
Yeah.
It's still on, what, 60% or 30% of desktops?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while.
The thing is, HTML5, to me, doesn't solve anything that HTML4, 3, 2, and 1 had as a problem.
That's
right?
Interesting. Why do you say that?
Well, because the crux of the problem is, we're saying is the browsers, right? And every browser vendor wants to have the best browser. Well, the way you get a best browser is by doing something better than the other browsers, means you're doing something different. And I think the reality is there's going to be, if there's not right now, really one man standing, you know, holding the HTML5 flag, and that's Apple. And their rationale isn't about technology, it's about their business model anyway. So our opinion is HTML5 is not solving anything 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 are. We do work on it. We're pretty technology agnostic. If there's a customer need and it fits into the kind of deployment they're doing, but I'd agree with everybody else.
And that's what I was going to ask. If you had a customer come in and say, I want HTML5, you're going to use that
sure.
to evaluate it, right?
Sure, absolutely. It's a choice. But in terms of breadth and power of something like a player-based runtime, it's night and day.
So Flash and Silverlight will behave pretty much the same way, regardless of the OS, regardless of the browser. That's definitively not the case for HTML.
And the thing I tell people all the time is think back 10 years to, you know, right around the turn of the century here, when we had different cross-browser issues. When I was a consultant doing web projects, if I had a project and somebody said, do it in Works in Netscape, do it, make it work with IE,
it's
whatever
still
version
like
was.
It's still like that.
Right budget went through the roof.
Yeah, right once debug everywhere.
Plus, you also have to think, I mean, if you're talking about business applications, and I really think it does matter what kind of application you're talking about. A business application means getting business data out to the client in some form that you can program against. And I just don't know what the options are there for in terms of what the object model and the business behaviors and how those are going to exist out there unless you're just writing them in Java and so forth.
And there are applications that will be suitable for HTML5 when it does come out.
I'm sure, but there's this whole re-services thing which says I ought to be able to program against my data in the same way. Let's take advantage of what people know. And the people who have been writing business applications are used to writing line of sight of the database in two-tier. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, I can write all that infrastructure. You know, it's three-tier. It's got to be async. I can write it all myself. That's tough, really tough. They don't know how tough it is. And the re-services has come out and said, don't write that yourself. We've got the plumbing to help you have rich business objects on both sides.
And some other company has a product.
And somebody
that does
else
that too,
has done that too, namely us. We've been shouting that out into the wilderness for the last couple, last 8 years, and I think we're pretty good at it.
So in some ways, re-services has to have helped your company along. I imagine, kind of brings. You guys have been doing this for a long time.
That's right, and you know, we've been doing it a long time. We've had Silverlight 2 applications. Written in our product. We've had WinForms applications written in our product, WPF. But the thing is that we've always had to preach, don't do it yourself. Do it yourself is our competition. And I think Rea Services is going to show people that that doesn't have to be the way to do it. They can start turning to guys like Dave and say, I want to worry about the UX and not worry about the plumbing. I want somebody else to handle the plumbing. Rea Services is an option. Data Services is an option, and I think we're an option.
That's a good point. We got, a lot of questions coming in here. I better get back over. R.E. Lawson, what about for line of business app? Is there a clear winner? I think we're talking here about line of business
there's
apps.
There's a clear loser.
I think there's a clear loser. I mean, my opinion, I don't know if there's a clear winner. Like I said before, they really are on parity, which is a big win, I think, frankly. But you can build some pretty serious apps.
You could choose it with Flex and Flash, or you could do it with Silverlight. I think your answer, again, it really depends, and I hate saying that, but it depends what you're trying to accomplish more than just, is it a business app?
Yep.
Who are your targets? So, okay, at Quillnux, what catches a customer's eye to use Silverlight where they may have used Flash previously? So if you've got a customer who's used Flash, what would make them say, wow, look at that Silverlight?
You know, it's funny, I came from a lot of Java back in the day, and then it was all about portability, right? Write once, run everywhere. The message I got left in there was the portability of people. And that's the real choice, right? If you are a .NET shop and you have VS.NET and you have these tools and you have this infrastructure deployed internally, that's where Silverlight gets to be kind of a slam dunk. And that's really the biggest difference, I think, between making that choice. If you're a big .NET shop and you have VS.NET and you know all that, slam dunk. If you're doing a lot of, say, Java J2EE and you got Eclipse and developers that know that world, it makes it easier.
That's right. Skills.
It's absolutely right. I mean, I've gone into large shops prior to coming to Microsoft where they were 100, 200 .NET developers there. And, you know, what are you going to choose, Flash or Silverlight? It wasn't even a question in their minds. They're like, it was easier for them to get up and running.
Yep.
So we've got at Ricardo Cordier. Hello, guys. To do my business application in Silverlight, I need to do reports. Do you have any information on how to do reports?
There are lots of components existing to do reports. You can print now in Silverlight 4,
right.
So shouldn't be any problem.
You can print. You get SQL Server reporting services as an option. And there was a product we mentioned the other day.
Yes. Perpetuum has a Silverlight plugin, basically, and a nice object-oriented backend. So you can send a request from your Silverlight application back to the server where you have a nice design report, and then it'll send the information back. And inside their Silverlight plugin component, it can do it to screen, do it to Excel, do it to PDF. So people ought to take a look at it.
So there's an interesting question up here I'll be taking, again, from at... Oh, I lost my space here. Okay, on the bottom, at Fun With Coding, will there be any Flash plugin for Silverlight so we can watch Flash content in Silverlight? And actually, the answer is no, there's no Flash plugin for Silverlight, but the same Flash plugin can work inside of Silverlight.
Can. Yeah, we've done that, actually. So we've had cases where, for one reason or another, we were using a library that maybe only existed in Flash, and you just load a small 1-pixel by 1-pixel Flash movie inside of what you're doing.
And so, if you look
and
at the
HTML component, actually, I think makes it
easier. Yeah, the web browser control.
Yeah, in out of browser, you've got to be able to play anything there, and so we're playing video content, some of which would be Flash.
Yeah, and I've actually, for the PDC, we had a HTML puzzle demo, which was written with a web browser control, which actually hosted a YouTube video in Flash.
Never
which
gone,
I think Scott Rickrolled everybody.
Yeah.
So, great. At System, as a follow-up, what about JavaScript and related libraries?
My opinion actually up until Mix was, the other real problem is you have these just oodles of JavaScript files for any kind of serious application that are then getting parsed and executed at runtime, right? Now, the IE9, you start adding just-in-time compilers with hardware acceleration to the compilation. Yeah.
Chrome as well, that'd be...
Yeah, and Chrome doing that as well.
And debuggability.
Yeah, now I don't think they've done the hardware acceleration. Maybe they have hardware acceleration of that kind of stuff.
JIT, I mean, they compile the JavaScript, I believe. Yeah,
and IE9 adds the hardware acceleration. That's going to be huge because that's been the big Achilles heel. I mean, you know, I often joke about Google that it's something as simple as an email client had so much JavaScript they had to make a new browser just to make it work.
Yeah.
And as much of a joke as that is, it's kind of true. It's why Chrome was around. But, you know, for the folks that are looking at things like HTML5 and because of the bunches of JavaScript, IE9 will be interesting with the hardware acceleration. I think you'll see other people doing it.
So we have a couple others here. We definitely wanted to get as many questions as we can in. We've only got a couple minutes left, but we'll keep going. So, Quillnux, how does the performance compare between Flash and Silverlight? And I know the answer is it depends, but answer that as best you can.
You know, I think the best answer is, other than it depends, they're about the same, frankly. It does somewhat depend on what you're doing. The smooth streaming stuff inside Silverlight is pretty great.
If you have to get data from the back end, though, are there threading questions?
So there is that. I mean, data calls inside of Flex are asynchronous. They are on their own threads. But because it's based on its heritage as a scripting language, there's no thread synchronization primitives. So there's no way to do as you saw in some of the thread mapping going on in the keynote, where you say, I'm going to pause this thread, I'm going to synchronize on a lock, I'm going to pull this data down, I'm going to combine it, I'm going to release that lock in a thread-safe way. Those things just don't exist on the Adobe side.
Okay. So in overall, it's relatively on par is what you're saying, though.
But you know, I know as Frank was saying, you can't spawn a thread. So if you have this big job that you could do in four parallel chunks, you can't do that except a data call.
If your application is massively using the CPU and you have a multi-core CPU, you're better off with Silverlight because you're going to be able to use those multiple cores, where Flash is probably going to use one thread a lot and bits of other threads.
Right. Okay, we've got at Vector Dude. What shortcomings have you seen in Silverlight 4? What would your favorite new features be for the next version? We haven't even released Silverlight 4 to be downloaded yet, and we're going on new versions here. So what are the things that are missing right now for you guys?
Well, to me, you can do a lot more hardware acceleration in the display
acceleration
compared to WPF. I mean, WPF is vastly superior in terms of, you may disagree, but for what we do, if we display side by side the same code with Silverlight and WPF, WPF is still much faster in terms of frame per second. There are bits that, that's one of the main issue. There is also the issue of synchronizing with the framework, the version 4 of the framework. There are lots of great additions in the version 4 of the framework that are not in Silverlight 4, despite having the same numbers.
Framework at large.
Like the parallel, the task parallel library.
Yeah, I missed that.
P-Link, I mean, that's all fantastic stuff. That should really be in Silverlight as well. I don't think there
are. That's a good point. There are some DLLs that are coming over. Like I learned a couple weeks ago that the XPath DLLs are now in Silverlight, for example. So some libraries have been ported over, but you're right, the vast majority of the ones, you can't port them all over because then you get back to that, as you mentioned, hundreds of
There are things like the reactive framework that you get on Silverlight first, and then that's going to be ending up in the other framework.
Exactly.
I think what's really annoying is that when they don't progress at the same speed.
That's the thing.
And you get tiny differences. In the way the things behave, and your code is not 100% the same, it's 98% the same, and those 2% are really annoying. That's what I want to see in version 5 is convergence.
More convergence.
Right. Between
For those of us who program in all these, in WPF and Silverlight in particular, and I think when we get to the phone, making them all be where they are the same. I mean, they can differentiate, but where they're supposed to be the same, where they announce themselves to be the same, they should be the same.
Right.
And we look forward to that convergence.
It's okay to have a subset, but that subset has to behave exactly in the same way.
Well, it's great. And we've got a couple minutes left here before we wrap up, so we'll ask some more questions from Twitter. At JohnstonMark79, can I use my Iron Python when gacking Silverlight, and will it consume COM? Anybody here know the answer to that question?
I don't know for sure, but drop me an email, dave.wolf@synergysystems.com, or any of the guys. I'll get one of our guys. To
okay, great. We can get back to you, and dave.wolf@synergy.com?
Yep. Synergy Systems.
Synergy with a C,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got Ree Lawson again with 3D rendering in Silverlight. Is that going to happen soon?
That's a question for you.
Yes, that is. I can't answer the questions. I'm the anchor. So.
I mean, my response to the prior question would have been that on top of what these guys had said would be more devices, and I see there's another question about Android phones, right?
Yes,
More devices and a parity amongst that. I mean, it's one of the places Microsoft has a huge head start is being able to, you know, from the desktop to the web, now the phone with X and A out on the surface, seeing Silverlight and all that coming to parity across the devices is going to be huge. And the first question was, which skipped past.
About the 3D?
Oh, about 3D. Yeah. It's hardware acceleration of these things on those devices.
And what we learned an hour ago here, talking about the phone, the Windows Mobile Phone 7, is that a lot of stuff is now being done in the GPU in Silverlight.
Right.
And that's going to be ending up in the full client, I mean the PC Silverlight
version.
Right,
there's things that are happening with his phone now that are probably going to end up in Silverlight at large as well.
So. I think that would happen. I mean,
a good response for 3D is I don't know the answer to when 3D will be there. I know it's a high request on our list as well.
Sure.
But there is a 3D engine called Balder that is up on Codeplex. You can
very impressive.
So we have time for probably one more question, then we need to wrap up quick here. Maybe we'll take two if they're quick. What about developing in Silverlight using a Mac? Ooh, that'd be fun.
I don't have a clue. No idea.
My understanding is that you can develop for the Mac, but you can't develop on the Mac.
There's no Visual Studio for the Mac today.
Right.
But there are products that they're working out there. I mean, you've got things like
using Mono,
Eclipse.
You might
Mono maybe.
Mono,
yeah.
Excellent.
But
this is from at GHB69. Will I be able to write a Silverlight app for my Android phone? Can you do that today? No. Will you at someday? I think the dream is that we can get there with all these devices. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and say it's going to be there for Android, but a lot of that has to depend upon the device manufacturers, the OEMs, Google in this case. So there's a lot of players involved, and that's the question we've got for iPhone. When's Silverlight coming out for that?
Yeah.
And the answer is not so much that Microsoft is not interested in it. It's we are. There's other factors as well.
Yeah.
So that's all the time we had here, but I wanted to thank Dave and Ward and Frank to come on. And I've got some, I want to recap and thank everybody who's been here, all of our viewers. We had a great lineup today, and I want to thank everybody that watched everyone and sent in tweets. We had some repeat people all throughout the day, and it was great to see. All our fantastic guests. We even had Huey Lewis on, who refused to sing us any songs today. We'll try next time.
We're running out of time.
He is here all week, though.
He is here all week. I'll be singing in the Boom Boom Room.
I want to thank our crew, who's worked tirelessly over the last 2 days. Yeah. Michael O'Neill, Larry Larson, Dan Fernandez, Charles Torre. I'm going to call him Joe from now on. Tim Heuer, Clint Ruckus, Duncan McKenzie, Tim Adlin, John Rooney, Erica Mackey, Dave Britton, Justin Schwab, Greg Oberg, the Freeman team, Kay, JD, Billy James, Walton Sean, many, many more people. And both today's and yesterday's Channel 9 live broadcast are going to be available to view on demand on Channel 9 very soon. Work as fast as we can to get all these out there for on-demand content. You can follow Channel 9 Live on Twitter for updates and future Channel 9 Live events. That's at Channel 9 Live on Twitter. And you can go to our website, which is channel9.msdn.com. And don't forget to watch Silverlight TV. That's silverlight.tv. I finally got my plug in after all day. And thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it.